Welcome to Cybersecurity Where You Are, the Center for Internet Security's podcast. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO at CIS.
And I'm Tony Sager, Senior Vice President and Chief Evangelist at CIS. Cybersecurity affects us all, whether we're online at home, managing a company, supporting clients, or running a state or local government.
So join us on Wednesdays as we discuss trends and threats, explore security best practices, and interview experts in the industry.
Together, we'll clarify these issues, creating confidence in the connected world.
Hello, and welcome to the CIS Security Podcast, Cybersecurity Where You Are. I'm Sean Atkinson, CISO here at the Center for Internet Security. Now, today I'm flying solo, so there's no Tony, no guest. You just get me for 30 minutes talking about incident response in DevSecOps. Now, I want to look at the challenges and potential solutions in modern software development. Now, as we go down this path, the reason I'm talking about the integration of incident response and why I think there's a criticality in that space is our threat landscape. Continually evolving, we're seeing attacks across deployment platforms through cloud native, supply chain, API. We've got to be able to react. So as we integrate modern capability, we have to have a modern response to where we're thinking about DevSecOps and really the challenges in that space of integration. And we look at different challenges in this space. So let's say modern development has high speed, right? In terms of deployment, development, there's a velocity in this space that we necessarily are getting used to. Now, not that we've not experienced before, that the DevOps program has been around for a number of years and some organizations are doing it really, really well. But we've also got to react to changes in our environment that require us to think about incident response through our DevSecOps processes. Now, can we lose visibility in cloud native and microservice architectures? Potentially. How are we tracking and assessing certain shared responsibility to make sure necessarily the responsibility that we're sharing is being used judiciously? So we want to look at that too. We look at our supply software chain vulnerabilities. We've started to see a number of exploitations that are coming through certain libraries, certain services. All of these elements are contributing necessarily to our security posture, right? How are we addressing that respectfully today? And how do we have to think about that tomorrow? And I don't think the two are exclusive. It's something we need to be thinking about now to prevent necessarily an issue in the future. Now, as we start to tune our respective response and start alerting, start understanding whether or not an event exists that's triggering an incident response process, we got to look at necessarily alert fatigue, right? There's elements where we can see the FP or the false positives being actualized. So these are some of the challenges that I want to address today. And ultimately, we'll look at solutions. I would love for you to provide solutions back, you know, a perspective. Am I thinking about it the right way? You know, podcast at cisecurity.org. I'm always happy to talk about these subjects and other elements where you want to extend or think differently necessarily than I am. And provide me your risk assessment, your thoughts about how we're addressing modern cybersecurity in modern development environments. Love to hear from you. So please make sure to reach out. So let's jump in to a couple of challenges. I mentioned four, right? And through these four elements, we're looking at this high-speed deployment, continuous deployment risk. And we emphasize the speed. It's something that we've harnessed. It's something that we've curated. It's something that the velocity that we request to make sure that, one, we're responsive, we're utilizing a capability that makes sure we're providing the best product or service we can at any particular point in time. Now, an element in this space is analysis. And then dwell time in terms of providing analysis, respectfully, as we move into deployment strategies. We've got to get in either to an agile mindset of that analysis with either automation and AI-enabled capability, but we want to make sure that we identify issues early. So respectfully, what I'm talking about or where I'm going is vulnerable code. If we look at a CI/CD pipeline, number of automated capabilities in that space, but we need to address security scanning, whether it's static, dynamic, or any other of the testing flavors that exist. We want to have that often and early. Now, you'll hear a term CISA has popularized. I don't know that they originated it, but it certainly popularized in terms of shift left, right? We've got to put responsibility back into, if we look at DevOps, we've got to get security back into dev versus ops responding to security issues, right? Let's get them fixed early. I respectfully say often and early, but let's get them fixed early. And then we identify that through our continued approach. So where we'll introduce SEC into the DevSecOps process, this helps us build out a capability there. And with that, we'll be right back after this quick break.
Zero-day attacks involve vulnerabilities with no fix. They lurk in the shadows without your knowledge, getting up to no good. This doesn't bode well for your endpoint security. With zero-day threats hidden in plain sight, most MDR solutions simply aren't up to the task. You need something different.
Turn on the lights with CIS MDR. Available exclusively to paid members of the MSISAC, CIS's MDR delivers more than alerts. Delivers action by transforming raw telemetry into clear prescriptive steps. CIS does this using behavioral analysis, helping you stay protected against zero-day attacks and other threats you don't know about beforehand. Especially coupled with the 24/7/365 CIS SOC as your full-time cyber defense partner. And let's not forget CIS MDR's hosting options in the GovCloud and commercial cloud, supporting your compliance needs. Fully managed and monitored, flexible hosting, CIS MDR's got your back. So get started today by visiting cisecurity.org.
Thank you. And let's jump back into the episode.
Now, as we move then into operations, we're looking at cloud deployment strategies, right? It gives us an ability to containerize, serverless, multi-cloud, a capability. Incident correlation becomes difficult. We lose telemetry in some of these areas if we've not necessarily set up the functionality or can conceptualize an approach where we can abstract certain metadata or certain logging from this deployment strategy. So we may lose an ability to alert early or understand whether or not certain infrastructure, certain deployed capabilities are facing an issue. Again, this could lead us down many different paths. Again, we look at all of the function features that are provided in our cloud providers today. It's incredible. And their velocity doesn't stop either. They're on the same path of DevOps capability to continuously provide new features and functionality. But when we implement, when we implement a new capability, we also have to make sure that we have enough of a risk-based understanding of the deployment strategy utilizing that ability, and that we've got the resiliency and protective controls around that deployment. If not, we lose a lot of that information that we would need to trigger incident response. So this gets into that we don't have the predecessor data in order to understand that we may be facing necessarily an event. We may need to provide incident response to something that's either been abused, stolen, exfilled, or controlled outside necessarily of our purview. And doing that requires us to really go down this path. And it is an onus that I'm putting on both dev, sec, and ops, is that we have to have an understanding of the technologies that we deploy to the point that we understand what are the vulnerabilities and the velocity to move to new technologies. The new greatest solution requires time for analysis. You know, we mentioned that before with respect to our code, but it's also our deployment strategy that we understand what we can get from that respective system. And when can we start baselining what is normal? When can we start to understand whether or not we've got a triggering event if we're doing anomaly detection? What tools do we have in that system to provide another protective layer? We want to build defense in depth across necessarily this visibility, this infrastructure, so that representatively we understand and we can react appropriately. So a little bit on my high horse there, but again, let me drop down And we'll talk software supply chain. Now, we ourselves want to shift left, but respectfully, we now have to look at the dependencies. We're not coding everything. We're doing a reuse strategy across a number of our different parentheticals within our library infrastructure, within our coding, within our deployment strategy, within necessarily the overall DevSecOps processes. So we've got to then think of what we're integrating. And this leads down a path, you probably guessed it, of the software bill of materials that we have to necessarily understand, right? We need to be able to, one, have awareness. We have to understand whether or not there's vulnerability in any subset of those elements. We look at dependency scanning in that space and really have to address, do we understand our complete exposure with respectfully third-party components? Very, very important to understand the dependencies in that space, this component structure, and be aware of that continuously. Now, we may augment that and utilize a tool to automate the process of assessment, so we can do automated dependency checks. Wonderful. That's fantastic. But I do want awareness, though. It's good to move down that path. But I always think that we need to check our automated processes to confirm, right? This is a trust but verify clause that we're going to add to this element. And again, it takes resources, right? There's an expenditure in being able to build an automated capability. That's not cheap. There's a requirement then to have someone assessing, respectfully, that underlying infrastructure. But at the end of the day, that's our responsibility. I'm sorry, it is. And we've also then got to have that portrayed to those in our software supply chain that they have the same responsibilities. We're not going to build resiliency by one, not communicating, and two, not taking responsibility. We have to do that. If we can make the entire supply chain more resilient, that's all good for us. But it is, you know, a cultural shift that there's a value element in that space where it's, well, I can do it, but it's going to cost you more, or, that there's not the velocity for some of the open source elements and libraries and things of that nature get updated when they get updated. You use it, it's your own risk, right? Well, let's build a risk profile. Let's understand those dependencies and whether or not it's worth assessing other alternative solutions, assessing we're going to accept that risk. You know, how are we going to treat this risk? It is a risk. That needs to be memorialized, it needs to be identified, and it needs to be considered in your approach. And then we'll go down, the fourth element where, you know, I'm really thinking of this alert fatigue and the FP or the false positives. And it gets into a space where we may be building out a capability in this underlying infrastructure, and we're trying to assess and address certain alerting, certain triggers, certain actions that happen within this environment that we don't know today. Is that normal? Is this something we need to respond to? We're going to default to a response, right? Because again, it's due diligence. We're going to react when we see something that needs to be addressed or could be a cause for concern. So again, it takes a little time. It takes maturation in order to understand what we're starting to see as part of this process, this program. Now, we can go into the SOAR element, right? A new, you know, not necessarily new, but a buzzword, which is security orchestration, automation, and response. Building necessarily an automated incident response program. Fantastic. The playbooks take time to develop. This is not a set it and forget it. Maybe there's some cool AI capability that automatically creates it based on the telemetry that it can gather from your system. Is it the right telemetry? How are we doing the provenance of that capability? Are we missing certain alerts? And, you know, things of that nature. And again, it goes to trust but verify. So there are capabilities in the space to help address response. I think we just need, one, the time, the attention, and respectfully, the curation of those resources that lead us to success, that lead us to better resiliency, that mitigate our risk. Okay. So enough of the issues, the concerns, and what elements of the cause are in this space. But we can look now at capability for real-time anomaly detection. We've got the capabilities in the space. We can utilize response playbooks. We can look at function-based approaches in certain infrastructure. We can gather and collect necessarily an integrated approach to our entire DevSecOps program. I do use the DevOps diagram of the infinity symbol as part of necessarily addressing that respective program, but it is continuous, right? You know, we get into the agile capability, the continuous and iterative approaches to development programs, which line very nicely with CI/CD pipelines. So we want to get into certain elements of testing, looking at the context of what we're building and respectfully building an approach that assesses the security and the underlying risk. You know, where are we vulnerable? What are the type of attacks we've seen in the space, and address those, right? Think, you know, your red team, put the red hat on and start thinking about these elements. So we have an enablement of automation, time, curation, understanding, and continuous curation as part of this. Please, please, it's not set it and forget it. Continuously address these risks. Now we move then into looking at containerized elements. So we can look at Kubernetes. We can look at certain elements in terms of deployment strategy. So let's say we'll move into the ops side of the house. We'll look at how we're deploying these capabilities. And we need to necessarily understand and assess certain controls in the space. Really need a playbook for deployment and looking at benchmarking certain capabilities in the space. Again, CIS benchmarks providing a lot of information in the space. Now, again, that's going to be contextualized on your approach. But when we do these elements, we also need to address what are the security controls and incident response strategies that we need to assess over time. So we want to look at both anomaly. We want to look at that we've got necessarily defense in depth around this type of infrastructure, and that we're building the same type of logging we would expect of on-prem deployment strategies. Now, again, respectfully, you could be deploying this on-prem to containerized Kubernetes approaches for orchestration in that space. Perfectly fine. Really doesn't matter where it is. We just need to have that visibility, right? We need that in order to understand where we're starting to see either the execution of certain commands in these environments, the allowance of certain conditions and controls, which are outside of what we would call normal. So we want anomaly detection in the space, and that has to feed into an incident response strategy. Now, it does take a little bit of a different turn in this space. So I just want to give you a perspective here. So, okay, Sean, we've built, we've deployed, we're in great shape, we've got all the telemetry, but it doesn't stop there, because there is a responsibility for the incident responders to understand what they're seeing and be able to respond in kind. There are going to be certain different classes of response strategy that you'll use for a containerized environment versus you would for a cell phone, right? I know, yeah, obvious, Sean, you know, what are you talking about here? What I'm talking about is the skill development from an incident response perspective to understand how these systems are being deployed, that upside of the house, that really referencing that incident responders are aware of how to engage, interact, build a capability, forensically sound approaches to necessarily assessing incident response in these spaces. Very, very important. I know there's a lot of material in the space, but it's good that there's the material. It's good that we have the logs and, you know, we're doing the collection, we're doing the configuration, but respectfully, we need incident response to be aware and also prepared to react to certain conditions in these environments. Okay, so again, let me you know, get off that high horse and get down to earth a little bit. And I'm never not in these types of situations going to mention zero trust. I think the approach, again, from a categorization of five respective pillars that I use to approach zero trust is very important. So we're looking at identity, network, data, user, and app. We want those as part of really understanding the telemetry across the infinity symbol. So we've got the diagram, right? Around that, we put the DevSec piece. So the sec piece of DevSecOps comes into play. And we utilize that across certain instances, certain infrastructure, certain requirements in terms of what we're building, who's building it, where are they building it, what type of data is in here, those types of things. And it helps us assess necessarily vulnerability in the space. So we want to have automated control. We want to have kind of a projectized approach to the implementation of zero trust. Now, for me, And there's another podcast that I reference this as well. But I feel every net new project from an organization should necessarily, from a security perspective, have non-functional zero trust elements. Every project becomes contributive necessarily to zero trust principles. Now, you'll say, well, not every project, right? No, not every project, but every project with relevance and context that fit the narrative that we're talking about today, absolutely. Contributive to that respective implementation strategy. Now, again, it's going to be contextualized based on the investment, the resources, the scope, everything that comes with a respective project, and everything that you have to be able to deploy such a strategy. It's going to take time. This is not something that I think is going to be an overnight addressing. You're going to have instant cultural change that allows you to move down this path with a velocity that ignores investment, ignores anything in terms of generational value, in terms of business ops or respectfully security, protecting the business as value net new. You know, these are going to have to be things over time. This is a shift in thinking. But I think we're waiting too long to do that shift. And respectfully, some may not be motivated to necessarily make that shift. And I get that. But again, it shouldn't stop us from moving forward in this space. So I digress on that. The next piece that comes into play, and again, I say it pretty much every episode, is we're looking at artificial intelligence, machine learning capability to address elements necessarily from an incident response perspective. Our triggering events, our alerting, our monitoring, our assessment have to come through necessarily an engine that representatively has these elements as part of our toolkit, right? I think enhanced capability is good. I think it needs to be addressed with oversight. I think there's a governance process that needs to be addressed with respect to the implementation. But when we integrate and when we look at behavioral analytics, we look at you know, that the behavior piece for insider threat, we look at external behavior, network behavior, maybe again across the five parenthetics or the five pillars of zero trust, help us necessarily understand whether or not we're identifying issues. And that comes back into a SOAR playbook, right? Those elements of AI ML that's going to be part of a combination play that maybe fits underneath the title of SOAR. And we utilize that to our advantage. And again, this is not something that was going to be integrated overnight. This is not something that's going to be instantaneously reactive to the conditions of our environment, right? We're going to go through fatigue. We're going to go through false positives. And we just need to understand that going in. Right. If we understand that and we necessarily adapt to it and use it as lessons necessarily learned or lessons that we identify, and then we codify it in some form or fashion that we can abstract it of either anomalous or normal behavior, that helps us down a path of curating an approach that gives us a greater opportunity at identification, as well as, you know, moving into a path of continuous improvement. You know, because if we're not in this space to continuously improve, I hope we're continuously reacting to the threat environment. That, you know, obviously that's going to be very important. But it also leads us down a path where we need to be conscious necessarily of the operational state today. It's not the same operational state tomorrow. We need to be able to react and understand what tomorrow looks like with respect to the data. So when today becomes tomorrow, necessarily we can react, we can understand, we can have some perspective on what's being built in the space. So as we look at incident response, what we need is early detection, right? If we're going to mitigate and assess, we need to detect early. We want to reduce that overall downtime, right? Our recovery time, respectfully, objectives should be necessarily aligned and improved upon with this type of capability. Potentially, is that going to be a measurement strategy? Potentially. You know, I've mentioned continuous improvement. You know, I address certain elements here where we can integrate into the program. So one, there's an awareness that DevSecOps, Sec is not just, oh, code analysis, and you're doing infrastructure as code assessment and configuration, and we're done. It's all the parenthetics that come under kind of a cybersecurity information security program. So, you know, we can apply the five zero trust pillars, But underneath that, we have parentheses of operational security, network security, incident response strategy, overall governance, risk control assessment, compliance, regulatory, you know, all the elements that could fit necessarily, I'll say neatly, under the SEC element of DevSecOps. But if we're continuously improving, we have to assess that, again, we're going to reflect that this is not set it and forget it. This is something we need to do continuously. And we need to address at a velocity, again, I'm not going to say that matches the deployment strategy, but a velocity that reflectively assesses how we're approaching iterative DevSecOps programs. So over time that we can influence and change, but we don't start from necessarily net zero, that as we integrate DevSecOps approaches, that we're able to work through development teams and operational teams as they start to strategize and work cohesively, is that we want to be part of that conversation. And we may not necessarily have to be in the infinity symbol, but we're around it, right? We're creating kind of a layered approach to DevOps with adding SEC as an oversight type capability. So when we assess how we're going to integrate, we want to look at our incident responders, making sure that they have the awareness. They're obviously working with respective teams across development and operations. Because the worst thing I see is identifying incident responders as part of a team. They've never talked to the development team before. They've never talked to operations before. They have no idea of the underlying architecture, the infrastructure. They have no diagramming. They have basically nothing. It's go solve respectfully a problem. That obviously has connotations and issues. That's not right. That's not an integration. That's a kind of an opaque box of test assessment to see how well you can incident respond with zero information. It's not where we need to be. So incident responders need to necessarily be part of the program. Now, I address this and what I'll use is an archetype called the playbook. So we're all, I'm sure, aware of incident response playbooks. I think tailoring in this space, and I think we have playbooks that will look at breach elements, malware, denial of service, misuse, insider threat, all of those, but with the parenthetic of now the technologies that we're using within the DevSecOps process. And so integration in that space, I think it's going to have pay benefits in the end by being able to assess and address. And in order to create the playbook, you don't have to communicate necessarily with that team. So that creates kind of the, not necessarily a bond, but at least a coordinated activity. I know who to talk to in these spaces when necessarily something is going to occur. And yeah, I'll use the adage, it's not a matter of if, but when. But it is, you know, something we need to be prepared for. We're not going to build resilience by ignorance. And that's something, you know, we need to address with this coordinated activity. So we've got continuous monitoring, logging. We've mentioned that we want to get the telemetry. We need to understand that telemetry and how it represents, respectfully, the systems and the programmatic approach to what we're building. We build automation. Fantastic. Automated approaches make a lot of sense in the space. With a detection strategy, a response strategy through SOAR, yes, but there's still the human touch. It's not, I believe, in this day and age. Can be maybe future potential capability in that space, but respectfully, I'm going to edge to a skill set that also has a human influence. Now, the one last one that I'm going to bring to the table is incident response drills. Really like this because I think it brings necessarily some vigor. One, there's the communication. Two, it allows us necessarily to address an approach that everybody can live with, right? We're going to work through this program together. We're going to build, we're going to deploy, we're going to strategize. Then we're also going to assess certain vulnerabilities in the space. Now, I love nothing more than applying the MITRE ATT&CK framework to certain conditions, certain elements of attack strategy. Use that as a tabletop exercise to look at, you know, credential access and, you know, credential loss to other elements of vulnerability that are necessarily assessed within the systems and how that has a pattern and flow and, you know, asking questions, where would we identify this? Where would we see this? Where are we going to bring in telemetry that necessarily either we're building a SOAR playbook or we're building an incident response playbook? Wherever it's going, that conversation needs to happen. And I think, you know, investing the time into those exercises, I hope, and again, it's going to be kind of the last thought that I have here, is a cultural effect. And what I mean by that is bringing awareness necessarily to those teams that there is a condition in which we exist that we need to be able to understand the systems, the underlying infrastructure. You know, we could use the zero trust pillars again. But that brings awareness, respectfully, to multiple team members. Again, from development, operation, security, integration, and incident response strategy. Because respectfully, incident responders don't have to be traditionally under the security team. They could be distributed necessarily with roles and responsibilities. Because respectfully, if we're looking at access control and management, there may be certain telemetry that we don't have access to that certain individuals would. Integrating them as part of an incident response strategy, a great cross-functional capability. That matrix approach now starts to bring awareness. And we can start to assess necessarily the security issues and controls that we all need to be aware of, right? So it helps us to move down a path to be culturally aware. You know, these workshops, training, awareness, doing certifications in this space, it's all going to help. It's contributive. But I like nothing more than a practical exercise in the space. And also having our development and operations folks also put on that red hat. What could go wrong? You know, give me some examples or, you know, start strategizing certain questions and scenarios. And if you ever hear, and again, this is the last point, that there is the impossible, this would never happen. Go down that path, pull on that thread, because never in this space doesn't really make a lot of sense. Maybe it's potentially right. Pull on that thread and really start to investigate, because it's, I've seen more nevers occur that cause issue than the ones, oh, we've practiced and, you know, we've got controls in this space, but this we're going to ignore because there's, you know, it's never going to happen. Very, very dangerous. All right. No, I did mention that was going to be my last point, and that is the last point. And I'll just make one more with respect to the audience. Thank you so much for your time, attention with respect to the podcast today. Again, flying solo. But I'd appreciate, you know, if you subscribe to the podcast, really in all the usual ways on all the major platforms. We're also on YouTube at The CI Security. So catch us there. Make sure to subscribe. Hit that notification bell. We've got new episodes every Wednesday. So you can expect content like this and much, much more. So we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the podcast today.
The thoughts and opinions expressed by our podcast guests are solely theirs and do not necessarily reflect those of CIS.
Tune in on Wednesdays for a new episode. And in the meantime, visit our website at cisecurity.org.
Together, we'll continue our efforts of creating confidence in the connected world.